97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m., and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Yeah, it does. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Appreciate you jumping in early with us this morning. Connor's got his glasses on. Jamie's got his glasses on. Pat's got his glasses on.
Wow.
Coach, yeah. Not wearing glasses.
Bunch of nerds.
I'm wearing my readers. And our 6 a.m. hour sponsors are friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Because Bradford White is here for the pro. I was trying to come up with a positive affirmation this morning with Bob out.
You know what mine is?
What was yours?
No lie, tomorrow H&H is coming out and installing a new air conditioning unit. And I can't wait to be humming.
But you know what, though? It'll be silent.
Yeah.
And your entire house, you're going to have to readjust to what you set your thermostat to.
Because I love being cold. And I'm going to...
See, you love being cold.
Oh, yeah. When I sleep, I want it down at like... Honestly, if I had my druthers, and I know they can only be mine.
Yeah, they can only be yours. No one else has your druthers.
60. I would be like...
Are you crazy? Yeah, like, are you Pat Egan?
Yeah, only when I sleep. When I'm awake, I prefer 69.
Okay. Yeah, well, of course you do.
We're at the all-star break of air conditioning season.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean the all-star break?
Because my air conditioning season is March to October.
Oh, my gosh.
And it'll stay on from March to October. We're not talking like October 1st it goes off. We're talking about like
mid-October. We'll turn it off on nice days, but...
As long as you find out... as long as your windows are still really good, and I hope they are, you're going to find out that the system doesn't run like... You're going to be like, wait a minute, our old air conditioner ran all the time.
Yeah. And we're going to be up on the Wi-Fi now.
Oh, it's so great.
We're entering a whole new world tomorrow.
Now, we make sure that you have... make sure you got an eye on that, though.
The Wi-Fi?
Because Addie will be messing with it.
Oh, yeah. She's like a 74, 75 person. Psycho stuff.
Our air conditioner's at 74.
Oof. I need a cold.
Connor, you don't have central air, do you?
I do. Normally, I turn it off during the day.
You want to sweat?
I don't normally sweat. I don't sweat like that. If it's like 76 or 78 or something in the house, I'm fine.
Yeah, 76.
76, 78, you're fine?
That's hot for me.
Absolutely fine.
That's hot for me.
Oh, Addy knows 78's my breaking point.
But 74, I'm fine.
Oh, I start to sweat around 74, 75.
No, I'll have a blanket on, like, my legs when I'm sitting there watching the Phillies game if it's, like, 76 in my house.
What? Oh, my gosh.
I don't do cold weather. I think you guys might be underestimating. Like,
if that's it not is cold, though.
If it is below 80, it's not warm enough.
Wow.
Hey, and our morning mind bender from Coach, according to a recent survey by Gallup, 18% of the people surveyed said they do this odd thing before going to bed each night. What is it?
All right, now, just so you guys know, if you turn to your last page there, the answer is on the last page.
Oh, I don't want to look. Don't look.
Try and guess.
It's odd, huh?
Something odd they do. I'd say that they eat before going to bed. They have something to eat right before going to bed. They're like Connor. They have full cheeseburgers and stuff on the nightstand in their bedroom.
Nope.
Not me.
That's not it.
Jamie?
Try to sit on the toilet.
18%. Nope. That's not it either.
Trim their nails.
Ew.
That is not it.
Rollerblade.
That could be it.
Lay out their next day's outfit.
Oh,
that's
good
Bob
guess.
Cooney. Yeah. Bob Cooney does
that's
that.
A good guess. That's not it, though.
Oh, okay. What is it?
I put out my underwear and shirt.
Right.
You do?
I throw in the bathroom.
Have intercourse. For everybody in here,
sex stuff.
Turn to your last page, and you will see the answer.
I'm not going to turn because those two are. So I'll let them turn and then give the answer
out. See if the answer is odd.
I do that. I don't think that's odd.
No, that's normal.
That's normal.
What? Why would that be odd?
18% of the people said they check every door and window to make sure they're locked.
Know what I do?
No, I don't do the windows, but the doors for sure.
Coach, you know what I will do, though, is if I'm whoever's last to bed goes and gets the app and just goes click.
Oh, the...
And make sure that that's all
That's pretty
done.
Nice.
See, they don't have to do
82% of you, I'm breaking into your house.
Wow.
Checking the doors, I get, but checking every door and window.
That's weird. You're
a psychopath.
Yeah.
You're absolutely worried about something that you shouldn't be worried about at that point.
Yeah, the windows is a little extreme. Although we do have some deck windows that are easily accessible. I will check those.
Right. Check them out. Make sure that they're done.
But that's about it.
Somebody check, and the more faith, the more faith I show in Aaron Nola, the more I get disappointed. Just last night, and you're not going to win when you score one run. So you weren't going to win that game either way, but he didn't give him a chance. He gave him a chance for a few innings. The offense didn't get going. But he didn't give him a chance. He didn't give him a chance to win last night. And that is one of the very few chances, very few times this year where I fear Aaron Nola has done that.
Yeah.
That's one of the few times where I've gone, damn, you didn't even give him a chance to win tonight.
Yeah.
But that offense really is struggling.
In the grand scheme of Philly's complaints I have, Aaron Nola is very down,
he doesn't make my
down
top,
the list.
He doesn't make my top six or seven.
But what you said is still my grave concern. You know, I think they've been playing a little above their fighting weight right now.
They need
another bat. I mean, really, they need two.
I think they need a starting pitcher, too.
But, you know, you see yesterday the Royals start to make some moves where they traded. They opened up some money in the first-round draft slot that they traded. And it certainly appears to me as though they're getting ready to sell Whit Merrifield and Andrew Benintendi. You know, the Phillies need a center fielder.
Andrew Benintendi, the right fielder. The Yankees would like him.
Yeah, a lot of teams would like him, and that's kind of my driving force of do something now and set the market and don't wait. You're just going to allow more teams to enter the ring. So go wow the Royals, or go wow the Orioles, or go wow one of these crap teams and poach their talent and do it now.
Got to do it now. Don't have to wait, Pat.
I'm sticking with you don't need to do it now.
Yeah, you happy with
thank
this
you,
offense?
Thank you for coming.
Are you happy?
Am I happy? No, but I mean...
Well, then I don't understand your strategy.
Like, if they had won, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But because they lost, and they lost twice in a row,
and they lost,
sky is falling.
No, it's not sky is falling.
And they potentially lost
sky is falling, guys. It's been sky is falling since Bryce Harper went out.
And you potentially lose Alec Boehm, too.
100%. Well, you were going to lose Alec Boehm anyway for the Toronto series.
Well, of course, because he's a noted epidemiologist.
So I'm sticking with, you know, you don't need to make a move right this second. Now, after the Toronto series, I might change my mind a little bit, but I think every time they win, we go, okay, you know, it'd be nice if they
win. No, every time they win, I go, oh, they're playing above their weight, and they're getting lucky.
Yeah, but they're getting lucky a lot then, because they keep winning a lot.
I mean, look at this lineup. Who are you happy with?
I'm not happy with anybody. As I said, it doesn't make any sense of why they win, but they're winning.
There's two guys. It's Reese and it's Schwarber.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like the hummingbird.
Exactly. So if it doesn't make any sense...
Wait a minute. I thought it was the bumblebee.
It is. It's
made
both.
No,
the hummingbird and the bumblebee. It makes no physiological sense of why they can...
They both have wings.
Why they can fly. The size of the wings, Connor.
The amount of
the body size.
The hummingbird now gets added to the bumblebee. And is the bumblebee different than the carpenter bee?
I don't know that.
Carpenter bees are the friendly ones, right?
They're the black ones. Yeah. They do not bite.
They're not going to sting.
My bee knowledge.
Bees also die when they sting you, right?
Yeah.
I think that's mythology.
They're about that.
No,
life.
That's correct.
No, that's,
yeah, I think when they lose their
correct.
Stinger, they die.
They die.
Well, I thought that was
very
mythology.
Very much so, Chad.
Coach, no stuff.
Oh, Coach, you're going to have to research.
I think that is mythology.
Get on that bee website and find out.
I don't think that is a 100%, but
The Phillies lost their stinger and Bryce Harper, and my fear is they're going to die offensively.
I don't think they're going to dig themselves such a hole by the August 2nd deadline that it's really going to matter to them.
Well, what do you do now with Alec Boehm?
Well, it looks like it's just a dislocation.
Right, I understand,
but what's that going to be? Until the All-Star break.
They're saying he might not even go on the injured list.
Yeah, but he might not play until after the All-Star break.
Okay, so you lose him for what, three games?
Five games?
He was already gone for two.
Yeah, he was already gone for two.
Whatever, you'll be fine.
Because of O Canada. Canoes are the original off-road vehicle in Maine. You can rent one for an entirely different point of view. Visit Maine.com. The message is sponsored to you by the Maine Office of Tourism. So,
I wish I had your guys' optimism.
I don't have that optimism.
You usually are the optimist.
I see two of nine guys contributing offensively. I mean, Nick Castellanos stinks right now.
Come on over, man.
JT, you know, I thought he was turning. He's just average.
Sometimes you can't explain it, Jamie.
You got three more years of JT. So that's all right.
I mean, he's fine. I don't really care about the money.
He doesn't either.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. The rest of the team's just not good offensively.
Coach knows stuff.
Here it is, the Coach.
So it seems as though the only honeybees die after stinging.
Correct.
So due to the sting becoming lodged into the human skin, thus injuring the bee as it tries to fly away.
Just a honeybee.
Honeybees, correct.
Bees,
correct.
A bee. Bees can sting.
Yeah, what are you saying, correct? You sit there and said it was
there are other bees
aren't
than
most
honeybees.
Bees honeybees?
Yeah, but we were talking bees. And you said it was
there
a
all
myth.
Kinds of bees. I asked
you
about the carpenter bee and other things because
you
other
said
bees
was
don't,
a myth.
Bees do not sting. There are other bees that can sting you.
What's your
mouth sure
for bees?
I mean, I think when you say bee, everybody
honey's
assumes honeybee.
Honey's
yeah.
Gotta be up there.
Yeah. Have you ever had a? Have you ever
carpenter.
Had a wood deck? Who the
yeah.
hell is thinking carpenter bee as the number
anyone
one?
Anyone
Salt
a,
Lake City.
Anyone
bees.
Has had a wood deck?
I got a carpenter bee. That
Salt Lake, the AAA team.
There you go.
So part of the reason why the honeybee dies is because the stinger is attached to the bee's abdomen.
Ooh,
bees. Stinger
that
becomes
good.
Dislodged.
Rips their
rips the ad.
Let me hear.
I like Connor's list of bees, by the way.
Let me hear from, since we're talking science, let's talk knowledge. To noted scientist and economic expert, JT Realmuto, on why he won't be playing in Canada.
I mean, yeah, it's an extremely unfortunate situation. Obviously, my teammates know how I feel about them and how bad I want to be out there with them, but it's just unfortunate that I'm not able to make the trip.
What are your reservations with your
I mean, I'm a healthy 31-year-old professional athlete, and I just didn't feel the need to get it. I've had COVID a couple of times and super mild symptoms back when it first came out, and when it came time to decide whether I needed a vaccine or not, I talked with a couple of doctors that I knew and told them my story and really decided I didn't think I needed it. I wasn't going to take it just because I was told to, basically, so.
Even if it meant not missing, because you're going to forfeit a good amount of salary.
Yeah, but I mean, what's money when I'm not going to let Canada tell me what I do and don't put in my body? For a little bit of money, it's not worth it.
For a little bit of money. Do you know the average home in Philadelphia he could buy with that little bit of money?
Yeah, $265,000.
He could pay it off. He could pay the house off. But JT Realmuto, it's a little bit of money.
Do you know what I'd put in my body for $200,000?
$260,000.
You know who I put in my body for $200,000? Like, who am I kidding?
Back off, Antonio.
It's the truth.
Like, that is a ton of money.
He
clinical trials, call my name. Because, like, that is ridiculous.
JT,
a little bit of money.
JT, don't be absolutely tone deaf. It's just a little bit of money. And I'm not going to be told what to do. Now, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Going to a brand new doctor, getting the full physical done and everything with the new doctor. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust my doctor
to
tell me what to do. And you know what? I bet you when JT goes to the other doctors, he trusts that they know. But he talked to a couple doctors that told him what to do. He can do what he wishes. It's up to him. The idea is it's unfortunate that I can't be there to help my teammates because they all know I want to be there for them. That's a load of crap because that's not true because you can be there with them. No one's keeping you from being there with them. You got to do that. You made the choice. Now, you're free to make the choice. I'm not going to kill him for whatever choice he makes for himself. He gets to make that choice. It's up to him. But the fact is, a little bit of money?
Yeah.
$260,000 means nothing to JT Realmuto. And I think people
Must
need to
nice.
Think about this. When you're talking about that, more than $250,000 to miss two games.
Yeah,
I'll give up a little bit of money.
I understand, like, for
it's
him.
It's such a condescending...
Yeah. It's for him that is a little bit of money, but it's just it's so tone deaf. And from everything I've heard about this guy, that is who he is. Like, he's just a tone deaf who's gonna sit there and go a little bit of money. I wish I could be with my team. You can, jackass,
right.
You
all
can.
Right. I'm gonna ask this question then. And I'll ask the question and I'll put it out there publicly, and I've held back on this, asking this about JT Realmuto.
In your chest.
JT. If it's just a little bit of money, $260,000, how much do you charge to sign an autograph?
Boom.
Do you charge for autographs?
Boom.
Do you charge for things? How much do you charge for an autograph? If $260,000 is just a little bit of money.
I know. What,
then why would you not take a pen and sign your autograph? If $260,000 is just a little bit of money, why are you caring about peanuts then? To get your order to sign an autograph for fans.
Got him.
And you may want to look into that story and find out what JT Realmuto about signing autographs or taking a selfie with a fan.
Roasted.
Got him. I would suggest if $260,000 is just a little bit of money, then why the hell are you caring about signing an autograph for fans?
Keep going.
May want to check that out.
Get his ass.
Hey, Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. Schedule a free consultation today at paworkinjury.com.
Got
what is that?
That's
what
my
is
guy
that?
Right there.
What
my
is
guy.
That? What is that commercial where the voices go, where the voice comes and says, like, after the person goes, like, delicious. I can't remember. Is it the...
I don't know.
There's a commercial where the voice comes in after whatever they say. Oh, after binging that show.
Oh, so I know what you're talking about.
I think it's the Wawa Chips Ahoy stuff. Mm. It's like binging season three of that show. Binging season three of that show. First of all, how do you also drink Chips Ahoy through a straw, Pat? Or do you, when you get a Chips Ahoy smoothie, do you scoop it?
I don't.
Is it more like
I don't get them. I don't.
You've never tried one?
I'm not a Chip Ahoy guy.
Can I challenge you?
Yeah, I'm not. I grew
How
up with
are
my
you
mom
not a Chips
because
Ahoy?
I grew up with my mom making homemade cookies.
Oh,
so when I got Chip Ahoy,
we've tasted his mom's cookies.
So when I got Chip Ahoy, I was like, "These are so
lame
so
compared to you."
Yeah, that I don't like them.
Wait, are you saying Chip Ahoy?
Yeah, it's Chips Ahoy.
There's multiple chips. There's not just one chip.
Wait,
in
there's
a
multiple?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I've got to try them.
That's why it's Chips Ahoy. Like it's not apostrophe.
Right. So my mother was getting Chip Ahoy, the knockoff version, with just one big chip in the center.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Those are pretty good. The peanut butter ones with the Hershey Kiss.
No, ooh, Betty Kincaid over, she's over at St. Peter and Paul. Well, love you, Mom. Where she rests her eternal soul. She bought the freaking knockoff Oreos sometimes. What are they called? Hydrox.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like, Mom.
Hydrox sounds like a cleaning solution.
Yeah.
Like,
you're eating Hydrox?
My mom bought Hydrox cookies sometimes. Not all the time. Because usually Doc would roll through a sleeve. Doc's favorite thing to do was to eat the sleeve of cookies and leave two at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that guy.
Leave two. Then I didn't
finish them.
And then I would eat the two. You got it.
Yeah. John finished them.
I'd eat the two, and Betty would invariably say, "Who finished the cookies?" And I'd go, "I did." And she'd go, "You're not supposed to." I'm like, "There were two." Because Doc had stuffed his face full of all the cookies.
The next generation move, they have the Oreos now that only open in the middle, so you don't have to fully take them out of the packaging.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I can't get them out of the side.
That's why you reach in and eat the side sleeve and the side sleeve and just leave the middle so people think it's full. And that way you can sneak some cookies.
Devil, stay away from me, because Oreos are something.
I love Oreos.
Now, they are totally on the co-pair hit list.
Yeah, and Chips Ahoy, both of them.
They need to come up with a way for them to not get in your teeth so bad, and then Oreos will be perfected.
How much do I love the addition of A.J. Brown to the Eagles? Well, I love it that he's entertaining.
He certainly is a good Twitter follow.
I love it that he gives us things to talk about. His vehement defense of Jalen Hurts, to me, inspiring. I love that he wants to defend his guy.
Yeah, that was probably the best thing to come out of yesterday.
But I will also tell you this. There is 0% chance, not 1% chance, 0% chance that I would ever sit behind this microphone and question reporting on the Philadelphia Eagles done by Derek Gunn. You guys know him even better than I do. Far better than I do, in fact. I have no reason to ever question Derek Gunn. He is not a hot take artist.
No.
He is not a guy saying, look at me for attention. If Derek Gunn says something, he has checked it. He's verified it. He's thought about it before putting it down to print or putting it out there on the air. And he's done that.
Yeah.
And Derek Gunn did that on a local radio
sports
show.
Talk with sports takes, excuse
with
me.
With Rob Ellis.
Rob Ellis and Barrett Brooks.
Can we hear it?
I don't get too hyped about OTAs, mini camps, and even training camp because it's controlled. But when I asked a few people back in late May about where Jalen Hurts was in his progress, one person said, let me just give you a scenario of what he went through one day of practice. It was a 10-play scenario. He had 3 picks, 4 incompletions, and 3 sacks. That was his 10-play series, okay?
Other than that, it was a great 10 plays.
And I followed up with, so what are you thinking? And the answer was, he's got a ways to go.
I don't have a problem with he's got a ways to go, and I also am not going to take a sample size of a crappy segment we did last Wednesday.
Sure.
And say, oh, well, that was a crappy week. But there is zero. A.J. Brown takes to social media to say that it wasn't true.
I think Lane Johnson did as well.
I got to tell you, I have zero reason to believe that Derek Gunn would ever misrepresent. I don't think Derek Gunn looks for attention. I think Derek Gunn just does a damn good job.
And he's also citing somebody within or close to the organization that he heard this from.
And I don't believe he would make up somebody to say something.
Derek
like that
has worked way too long and gained too much respect to question that. It's something he heard. Look, it's practice. Like, I don't really care about stat lines in practice, ultimately. I don't think it's a big deal. Do I have my concerns about Jalen Hurts? Abso-damn-lutely.
Yes.
But, you know, if he struggles in one practice, I'm not going to go, oh, well, this season's lost.
Yeah, it's
you
done.
Know what I mean? It's just like, give the guy a chance. Maybe he was working on something that day.
Maybe it was a footwork thing.
Yeah, maybe there was context to the drill we didn't understand. Whatever it was, I don't think it's a big deal. But I do think people within that organization have concerns about him.
I'm with you, though. I love how A.J. Brown handled this.
I enjoy like
that,
it.
It was
that
funny.
That tweet was...
The T.O. McNabb thing was funny.
Yeah, that was what got me.
That was
yeah.
funny. Yeah. Yes.
That was what got me.
One of us.
And I
one
think,
of
I
us.
I think he handled it perfectly because I think normally, you know, your teammates want to... It's a good thing that they wanted to come to the defense of
absolutely.
Jalen Hurts.
But you also, like me, have no doubts that Derek
100%.
Dunn... 100%. Correct. I mean, there's
the
no...
The gun we're talking about.
It's, I mean, yeah, players squashing a report having their guys back is nothing new. It's as old as time.
Correct. And I don't think it's anything personal against Derek Gunn.
No.
I think it's a...
And also AJ
we're
Brown.
Trying to defend our guy, but D. Gunn... If you're talking about hot take media in this town, he is absolutely at the rock bottom.
Yeah.
Of that ever.
And A.J. Brown, look, he's new here. The tweet was hilarious.
He
doesn't know Derek Gunn. Like, he
correct.
Doesn't know what Derek Gunn's...
You know what,
like,
though?
Go talk to Brandon Graham about Derek Gunn. Go talk to these other guys that have personal relationships with him. They'll tell you.
I guarantee you when he arrived in town, he was told about Derek Gunn.
Probably.
And told that here's one of the good guys
yeah.
that you can trust in our business.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the only thing I took out of it is that I just wanted to clarify with people is that, look, I love the tweet.
Yeah, it's funny.
I loved it because it's funny and...
You can believe the report and love the tweet.
Absolutely.
Because I'm doing it now. I'm living that life.
You're living that life.
I'm walking.
Hey, Tyler in Levittown wanted to check in with us early here. Tyler, good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Tyler?
Not much. I'm just trying to find out why you guys have such a problem with JT not wanting to go to Canada. I mean, it's his own choice and this is America, right?
Oh, yeah, it is his own choice, and that is Canada. It is his own choice. But you know what, Tyler, what job are you going to do today?
I'm an electrician, actually.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're an electrician. Is $260,000 a little bit of money to you?
I mean, sure. Why not? To the average
person, oh, it's a little bit of money to you? Really?
Why are we worrying about the money thing?
Because, Tyler, he brought it up. Nobody else. He brought it up.
I need to become an electrician.
No, Tyler. He brought up the money. Nobody else brought up the money. He did.
Why he wasn't going to Canada.
Because he said $260,000 was a little.
He didn't want the vaccination.
And he said because $260,000 is just a little bit of money and it's not worth it.
That's not the point. He doesn't want.
Tyler, you can make the point whatever you want. He brought up the money, not us.
He's been doing lately because that's all I've been hearing.
Because he's stealing money.
I really like this show a lot, but you guys are really, really killing it.
What are you killing with what, Tyler?
I'm saying I love this show, but you guys are killing me with this vaccination talk. It's like, dude,
we've talked about it for 5 minutes.
What are you talking about?
For 2 years, we've been done with this, and you guys are still finding a way to bring it up. I just don't get it.
Tyler, he brought it. It's him bringing it up, Tyler.
Am I crazy?
Well, this is not us bringing this up. He made himself center stage with this.
This is a news story. It's not...
This isn't us bringing up the first of all, how many times have we talked about the vaccine?
Not very
10
often.
Times in a year and a half? Because it always is brought up as a sports story.
It's always brought up when one of our teams heads to Canada because
correct.
They have extreme rules.
Like Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, that's...
Like anything else. Come on,
and it's
Tyler.
Worth mentioning when it's good players or you're losing.
Correct. And
Phillies fan.
And he brought up the money, Tyler, not us.
Look, at this point, I don't care if you get the vaccination or not. What I care about is the Phillies are going up to Toronto, and they're having to do a bullpen game because they don't have a starting pitcher, and they're having to start Drew Stubbs because they don't have their starting catcher. That's what I care about.
And I also say, Tyler, he has that right. I'm not telling him he has to get the vaccine. If that's the mountain he wants to die on, he can die on that mountain.
But I do appreciate.
And he can take it.
I do appreciate Tyler listening.
We do appreciate Tyler listening.
We do.
All right,
you like the show.
Coming up, dominating in the ratings in 2022, the NFL is laying waste to everyone yet again. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hell yeah, baby! That's what I'm talking about, coach!
Now this is some Canadian rock!
No, wait a minute, no.
Don't really like this too much.
No, I don't either.
This is great.
I feel like I'm watching Hee-Haw.
This is pretty good.
Oh, I can get behind this.
Pretty good!
It's not my kind of...
This is great!
Sorry.
The band's the most underrated band of all time.
What?
And it was a very creative name.
What was their song in Spider-Man's trilogy? Did they do one?
Well, you got me there.
Yeah.
Sounds like
owned. Damn.
You got owned, dude. You and the band got owned.
They got the multiverse now, so technically every song's in the Spider-Man trilogy.
Ooh. I can't even. People try to explain the whole Spider-Man thing to me, and I
multiverse.
My daughter loves the Spider-Man movies, so I'm like, I can't. Figure it out.
There's multiple verses.
The multiple universe.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out.
The
wormholes.
The multiple universes. It's
like string theory.
Yeah, it's great.
Band. They just make you smile.
Hey, the beach, the boardwalk, the boat on the bay. They make you smile too, right, Jamie?
Absolutely.
Bet Parks, when you're down the shore, you can download the Bet Parks app. Go to betparks.com. You got to be 21 in New Jersey. Gambling problem. Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. And in this listener suggested segment, this guy wants to take out, Vince Herrig wants to take out me and Bob, because it certainly doesn't apply to Jamie and Pat.
Here is the listener suggested segment of the day.
I wish Bob was here to sort of take the bullet along with me, but I'll read his note. Vince Herrig, and I appreciate you listening to the show. And I'm saying, Pat, I'm telling him thanks for listening.
Appreciate that.
He says, I'm sorry, guys. I love the show. But I think you all purposely are ignoring the huge flaws in Jalen Hurts' game. Jamie was my hero.
Wow.
For being the first to throw in the towel.
Chad Kroger sang about that.
And I think the others' cheerleading is even starting to sway him.
No.
Mark my words, this is going to be bad. He will be the reason they don't achieve what we all expect them to do. And I'm talking 10-plus wins. As Pat would say, cowards!
Bang.
Who commits to them being a playoff team today? I personally think Vince is a little off base because, yes, Bob and I have not thrown in the towel on Jalen Hurts, but we both had the towel in our hand for the second half of the year. And I find it that I can't throw in the towel on somebody who led a team to the playoffs and has a chance to do it again. But what I will say is this. I don't think that throwing in the towel on Jalen Hurts means I think these guys, Vince Herrig, are going to flip your script on you, because I believe they're going to be a playoff team. But I don't believe that means that in 2023, I'm going to say Jalen Hurts is definitely the guy.
Yeah, I don't think
I think they're independent.
I don't think that's the watermark you're looking for.
Now, Vince obviously believes, though, you're getting swayed.
That
we're starting to sway you by all the positive talk. Tell him about it.
I think they can be a playoff team in spite of him.
So you go as far as to say in spite of him.
Yeah. I mean, look, the only person that's going to change my opinion on Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts. Nobody's talk or opinions is going to sway me. I saw what I saw, and I don't think it's good enough. And why I feel the way I do is I don't think he can improve on it enough to become a top 10 guy. And if you're not a top 10 or 12 guy, you're wasting your time. Because, yeah, you could probably win a Super Bowl once a decade without one of those guys, but it's going to take the right circumstance, the right team around them.
Right price? Oh, no, that's your car dealer.
Could he be that guy you win one with every 10 or 11 years? Maybe, but I'd rather go find a guy that's a top 10, 12 guy that every year you feel as though you're in it.
Pat, you threw in the towel second on Jalen Hurts, and I don't feel like you've moved off that position.
Not at all.
I think Vince is a little off base with his take. He can take bullets. I can take the bullets from Vince, but I don't... I don't consider myself a cheerleader.
You know, maybe Vince thinks that because we've all said that we hope we're wrong. You know, I mean, I don't think he's look, I don't think that Jalen Hurts is ever going to be the guy. I think he's a poor man's Tyrod Taylor. I've said that before. I'll repeat it. But with that said, and the good thing.
Okay, that is bold.
No, it's not, because when we looked at the number, like, Tyrod Taylor's serviceable bridge
quarterback. T-Mobile has had that, correct.
Now, with that said, the good thing for Eagles fans is I'm wrong all the damn time. So, you know, my take on Jalen Hurts, I mean, take it with a massive grain of salt. And I would love to be wrong about it because I don't want to be looking for a quarterback in a year. But it's really concerning to me that a quarterback that works as hard as he does and that lives in the film room and has all the intangibles off the field couldn't read a defense in his first NFL game or first NFL playoff game. And that jumped out to me in neon. Like, it's not for lack of trying. I'd actually rather it be for lack of trying. Because you can improve on that.
Because then you can write somebody off.
Yeah, but there's no doubt in my mind that he was in the film room studying tape. And they were able to confuse him.
And working out and doing all that.
You know, and it wasn't all that difficult. They basically just forced him to his left. So I don't see how much he can actually improve to make this team a viable contender. And it's a shame because I think they have everything else except the quarterback.
Yeah, Connor, you agree with me, though, that Vince sort of, I think, a little unfair to Jamie and Pat.
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier today, even, Jamie and Pat both said they're still out on him before we got into this segment. So, yeah, it's a little unfair, and I don't think they're going to get swayed at all.
I'd love to be wrong, for the record.
Jamie is, honestly, I think you or me are the least people to be swayed by somebody else's opinion.
Look, I was probably the only person in the city of Philadelphia limits that approved of the Jalen Hurts draft selection. So I'm in a weird spot in that I like the kid. I thought he had potential. But I think I've seen enough where I know he's not going to be a top 10 guy.
Right, there you
go. That's my ultimate goal for the Eagles, is go get a top 10 guy. That's why I was, you know, excited for the possibility of Russell Wilson. Those guys don't come around very often. They're hard to obtain. So when you have a shot at one, I think you do everything you can in your power to do it.
Do you, Connor, are you closer to me or closer to Jamie and Pat?
I'm closer to you, John. I think the work ethic, I think we haven't seen him really have a transitional offseason. By that, I mean a year we saw him play as the starter significantly and then what he can improve upon and be able to see those changes clearly. I think there's going to be a big jump in his game. Now, I don't know what exactly that means, but I think there'll be a noticeable difference.
Okay, but you got to tell me a little bit about, though, when you say a big jump in his game. Like, what does that mean?
I think passing yard, like as a passing quarterback, we're going to notice he's significantly better, and that is going to be, you could attribute that to A.J. Brown, which might make it fool's gold almost, but he's going
That's
to look significantly better as a passer, and I will commit to them being a playoff team today, which was his question down there at the bottom.
So we all agree on them being a playoff team today.
But they can be a playoff team with Gardner Minshew.
Now you say despite him. Pat, are you the same way as Jamie, that they can make the playoffs despite him?
They did last year.
Yeah, I don't see how many games we look at next season and go, man, they won that game because of Jalen Hurts. Now, with that said, a large part of that might be because of the fact they don't have a really tough schedule. But like when we look at last year, like how many games did Jalen Hurts go out and win?
I would say Denver. He was pretty instrumental.
Denver was his best game of the year, right?
I mean, in fairness, he should have led them to that Giants come from behind victory had Jalen Reagor not dropped two.
That was the worst game of the year.
It was, but he
led them. So you wouldn't say you won because of him.
But if he leads, you know, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
He crapped the bed for four quarters against one of the worst teams in football.
But that's the NFL. If you play like crap for three quarters and lead your team back to a victory in the fourth, you get credit for that.
Yeah, that's all anyone remembers is the fourth. And Jamie, you had the list of quarterbacks that they've beaten the last 2 years or whatever.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting, and it's not getting better. Like, the quarterbacks that they're going to face this year aren't great.
No.
For the most part. So, I just don't know how many games we look at. I think most of the games that they win this season are kind of going to be like last season, where we look back and we go, okay, he was all right. He was fine. But it was a turnover. It was the running game. It was... You know, look, I mean, if it's the wide receivers, then obviously he had a part in it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to give, like, to me, the whole thing, like, the Giant game, I'm not giving you credit Because you lead a comeback after crapping the bed for 50 minutes against one of the worst teams Stafford's in the NFL.
Matt Stafford's done that his entire career, and he's lauded.
No, Matt Stafford is one of the most prolific passers the game has ever had.
Yeah, and he also led the league in fourth quarter comebacks because a lot of times he was crap for two or three quarters, and his team was crap. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's he supposed to do there?
Like, yeah. Draft better, Chief.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you lead the team back in the fourth quarter, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yes and no. I understand John's point. Like, you can't ignore it.
You're against the Giants.
You're excited.
That was the worst game.
But the question was, arguably, how many was he responsible for?
Yeah, but you wouldn't have said, if we win that Giants game, you pull that out. You're not going to go, well, we won that game because of Jalen Hurts.
I don't know. He made two pretty clutch throws in the final minutes of the game that should have been touchdowns.
Against one of the worst teams in the NFL after having 3.5 crappy quarters.
I don't care what the score is at the end of the day. It's all about the W.
It is, but it does have to do with how you got there.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't matter.
Especially in this city.
Yeah, you're talking to the guy that's most out on him of all of us.
No, I'm most out on him.
I think that Jamie is the most out on him. Jamie, you wanted to talk about something earlier on the show I didn't get the chance to get to, about Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Jordan, like, again,
he doesn't talk very often, and that's why when he does talk, it catches my attention. I mean, he's MJ, you know, and it's weird for an owner and a guy as heavily involved in the league as he is. You'd think you'd hear from him more often, but you really don't. So he had a quote the other day that I guess kind of went viral in the NBA Twitter sphere, dealing with the lack of loyalty in today's league. He was in an interview and he said, players need to stay true to one team. One minute a player is on a team, the next minute they want to be traded to a different team. It's getting ridiculous. Completely fair, you know, fairly benign statement. A lot of people would say, yeah, duh. I think it's part of what makes the NBA surging in popularity in these most recent years is it's a soap opera league. I mean, it really is. I think it's part of its appeal. The turmoil of it, I think, has helped the league grow, honestly. But I get what he's saying, too.
I heard Cousin Chunas talk about this last week, that you can find a game on the random schedule where you can find beef between players or teams or something like that.
Beef?
And that's awesome.
It's great for the league. Everybody likes a heel.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they're heels. Anthony Davis was a heel for the way he handled himself getting out of New Orleans. And that's good for the sport, ultimately. So while MJ's point is fair, you know, his era was all about, you know, pretty much loyalty to teams. Now, I think it was Draymond Green had a podcast last week, and he said what all NBA players think. And it kind of goes back to the Dame thing, too. He said, I'm the president of Draymond Green Enterprises. We are a business. Now, people might not like to hear that, but it's the truth. I mean, these guys are making, you know, $500 million in their career at this point. You know, it was only 8 or 9 years ago that Mike Conley signed the largest contract in NBA history, and I think it was for like $145 million at the time. Now the salary cap's gone up so much that these guys are signing $260 million deals. So in 7 or 8 years, these guys' earning potential went up $100 million. It's great for the athletes. It is what it is, but these guys are multi-million dollar businesses now, and that's the part I think MJ, as somebody that started kind of this whole monetization of your brand, I thought he would have a little bit, I guess, more understanding of why guys do what they do now.
It shocks me because I wish every single person in every single career looked at it the way NBA players are today. I wish they looked at themselves as being an individual brand, that everything they do, every decision they make, how they carry themselves, what choices they make, who they align with, matters from the day you start your career path.
Like, think about Durant, for example.
I think it's brilliant.
When part of his appeal to go to Golden State was, yes, it was a super team that he had a really good chance to win with. Part of it was their ownership group are tech bros, and they're very educational to their players and locker room and staff about how to invest money in tech and how to grow your portfolio.
Which he wanted to do.
Which he was very important to him. Andre Iguodala has made a lot of money investing his money that he learned from the ownership group of the Warriors. So part of their culture is they help their players make more money. And then Kevin Durant wanted to go to New York where his business operation is. So both places he demanded to were because of Kevin Durant Enterprises. And I'm kind of surprised MJ doesn't get that.
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
Especially the guy with his business acumen.
Here's the deal, though, is I know a lot of people in our industry that they, because I believe you should look at your career. I think whatever industry you're in, you should look at your career and you look at yourself as a brand. But there are many people, though, who build brands, but then they're not cooperative with being good team members. And I think that's the thing that maybe MJ's getting a block on, is he's associating a guy who has an individual brand as to not being good team or worried about team goals. One of the things you got to do, you can have a career brand in our industry or any other industry, but you better be a damn good team player. You better be good with, play well with others.
And I think
that'll
help
bring
that.
People along. I think he's not. I think he's being a terrible teammate. He's
right
running
now,
on the team that he built.
But
he's running on the team that he begged them to build for him.
Well,
and he's running.
But with the Warriors, he was a great teammate, and he just slid right in and was seamless.
He walked into a great situation.
Well, yeah,
and took someone else's team that was already built, slid in.
But that's
and then,
not
by
easy
the way,
to do.
And by the way, then he burned bridges by the time he left.
I mean, it's not.
It had a bad breakup.
Steph Curry's talking about being open to the possibility of him coming back.
Yeah,
so it's not that bad.
No, it was a bad breakup.
Him and Draymond are just beefing in podcasts and Twitter stuff. They would welcome Kevin Durant back with open arms.
They love him.
I can't.
They
quit
would.
You.
Yeah, they welcome him back.
See, I don't think they'd want to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would not want to break up. I can tell you right now, if I'm Golden State, you're stupid to break up that core that you got.
If you think for one second that if Buck Ballou was offered up to you for me, Jamie, and Bob, that you wouldn't take that in a heartbeat. You would.
No, because...
You miss Buck. I hear
Buck
you all
would,
the time.
Buck would say to you, Johnny boy, I don't know anything about that Jersey Shore.
But he would get to learn it.
He'd say, Johnny boy, the one thing I do miss is singing Beat the Mets.
He would get to learn it, though.
You
would trade us in a heartbeat? I don't blame you for it.
I wouldn't trade you.
That's your boy.
I would not trade you.
What do you say,
Buck? To do this show in this place, I would not trade you. Not believe me. Believe it for everyone.
Well, maybe he would trade who he's got now for you. I mean, there might be.
I think he would.
He might have had a little bad blood. Like, all right, you, for example, right? Like, you have bad blood with chicken Caesar salads.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean you're never going to eat a chicken Caesar salad again.
I do. In fact, I've had them.
Yes,
I've had
delicious.
Them, but
a chicken Caesar wrap.
I'm skipping that bread.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant, just because he burned them doesn't mean they won't trade for
they
him.
Would
he's talented.
They would roll out the red carpet and welcome him back so fast.
Absolutely.
It would make your head spin.
Well, they've got the opportunity to do so. I don't believe they will.
I saw a report yesterday that said Steph Curry is open to the idea.
He's open to the idea,
and he carries that much weight with the front office that they would listen.
Now, Pat, you wanted to talk about the Phillies minor league system, which has been trashed by a lot of people a lot of times.
Yeah, mostly me.
Yeah, look, and I understand why. Because I think when you look at the Phillies minor league system through history, hasn't really been great. Okay,
Pat,
but
you're very nice. Those are the insights.
That was a nice way to say it.
Connor, that's a topic for your podcast.
It's a hot take alert.
Are you guys done?
It's really good.
I have to laugh at the pain.
Can I continue?
Yes.
I don't think it's been as bad as we have made it out to be. Jamie, please.
Let him
your mic off.
Come on, Jamie.
For about 3 minutes and let me make my case and then you'll have your time. No, look, the 08 team and that whole run was basically built a lot by the farm system. And when you want to look at the trades, well, trades can't happen without your farm system. So they were brought over by the farm system, even though the farm system, the players that they traded away, most of them didn't really amount to much other than Carlos Carrasco, who at one point was DFA'd by the Indians, and then Travis d'Arnaud took a little bit. But this current team, and Bob alluded to this, actually you were out with us, Jamie, so but Bob alluded to it. When you look at this current team, JT Realmuto was a trade, but he was a trade from your farm system, so you got to give your farm system a little bit of credit with that. Rhys Hoskins is from the farm system. Aaron Nola's from the farm system. I'm trying to think. Alec Bohm's from the farm system. Bryson Stott, who isn't playing well, but he's still from the farm system. So the current team, it built a little bit from the farm system, and then Kyle Gibson's a trade from the farm system. But we've also looked at the prospects that they have right now and saying, like, they don't have much to give up. Well, they have yet another guy that has entered the top 100 baseball prospect list, and take that for what it's worth, because when you look at the history of the MLB's top 100 prospects, it's littered with who the hell are they's. But Griff McGarry enters, and he joins Logan Ohapi, Andrew Painter, and Mick Abel.
Mick Abel's on fire.
Look,
And so is Griff McGarry, by the way. He's like a strikeout machine. So I guess what I'm getting at is, like, this farm system, while it's popular to say it's trash and it's horrible and this and that, it might not be as bad as we make it out to be. And I do wonder if, barring a couple of the teams like the Rays and the Astros that seem like they always have it, I wonder if this is kind of like a power play in hockey, where if you ask every fan base, how's your power play? Oh, it sucks. And then you're like, well, actually, you're third in the NHL. But you don't score, you know, you don't score every time. So it just the illusion's there that you suck. I don't think the farm system is as bad as we make it out to be. But then again, I'm like Patty Minor Leagues. Like, I love prospects. So I'm jaded by it.
Here's one question for you.
Go ahead. And if it's about the outfielder, then I'm going to leave.
It's about the outfielders, Pat.
I'm going to leave.
You get three cracks at it every single year.
I can't do it.
Since the inception of farm systems, the Phillies has developed Greg Luzinski and Dominic Brown as all-stars.
Yep.
That's it. That's the list. Dom Brown, okay, I can't take that from him, but it was essentially a month and a half of En Fuego baseball where he was seeing beach balls. Outside of that, it's the bull. That's it. And JT, no. Sixto Sanchez does not get credit because he didn't pan out to anything either. So I can't give him credit for JT Realmuto. Every team can trade prospects.
Pat, I can understand the frustration. But I can understand Jamie's frustration, too.
I can, too. My outfield thing is, like, it's frustrating and it's kind of amazing. But
it's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible.
It almost is. You can absolutely give the farm system credit for getting JT Realmuto because...
How does Sixto pan out?
Well, he's injured right now.
Who cares?
But when he's pitched really well, but he's injured right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in a year from now, we could be sitting here talking about how Sixto Sanchez is like a stud.
But the point was, at one point, he was untouchable.
Yeah,
and he hasn't really on squad.
Did you just do air totes on that quote?
Untouchable.
Coming up.
But you have to give them credit for having him in the system to get you
talent. You can't trade Kyle Drabek. He's too good.
But they did.
And how did he work out?
Just because Joe Hoagie Mouth was yelling that he was untouchable doesn't mean that he was actually untouchable, because clearly he wasn't, because he was used in a trade to get Roy Halladay. You have to give him credit for that. Good day.
No.
There you go. Good job.
No credit is deserved.
I rest my case. I'm getting the last word.
And he didn't say, he still doesn't know how to say Halladay. He just still, it's like he insists on
just
that.
Just throw it to break, Johnny. All right? Throw it to break.
Farm system sucks.
We're done here. Cuz Radio coming up next.
But I will say this.
No, another hour till Cuz Radio.
No, I'm done.
It is the best it's been in a decade.
Yeah.
I will say that.
The Phillies head to the Great White North.
We agree.
Thanks for listening.
Minus a few unvaxxed players, and one of them had a lot to say last night. 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show's next on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.